The following episode contains adult themes of domestic and animal abuse. Listener discretion is advised. Chongita stood in front of her old, cracked mirror. She wore a white gown of gossamer silk, embroidered with pearls and beads of amber. A veil of delicate lace sat atop her head, and around her neck was a golden chain with brilliant rubies. Behind her, maids ran around making preparations for the day. One of them fussed with the train of her gown, while another fixed her veil in place. A third maid put together a bouquet of pink and white stargazer lilies for her to hold. Chongita sighed. She looked up at the ancient stone ceiling of her bedroom. The palace was old and drafty. Its once magnificent courtyards and arcades were now crumbling and overgrown with vines. Even so, she would be sad to leave. Today, she would be married. And after that, who knew? She had only seen her new groom once, and even then it was from afar. She'd gazed out at him through a curtain of vines that covered the old marble balcony. He was certainly handsome, but she wondered if he was also kind and intelligent. She hoped he was, but whatever the young Don's temperament, this marriage was destined to go forward. Her maid held out the bouquet, and Chongita smiled, reaching out to take it with her curling brown tail. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Chongita features domestic abuse. Please exercise caution for children under 13. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. Today we'll be telling the story of Chongita the Monkey Bride, a strange piece of Philippine folklore centered around an industrious monkey and her ill-tempered husband. The first written version of the story appeared in 1921. It was published in a collection of folktales assembled by an American scholar named Dean S. Fainsler. Fainsler taught at the University of the Philippines from 1908 until 1914. During his tenure, he supervised the collection of over 4,000 Philippine folktales. Though many of these stories have since been lost, he did eventually publish over 80 of them in a volume titled Filipino Popular Tales. The Philippines have long served as a hub for trade and commerce in Southeast Asia. Their strategic location and copious natural resources also made them a regular target for conquest. The centuries of trade, invasion, and colonial rule made for a culture that was widely influenced by contact with foreign powers. These influences are particularly evident in the tale of Chongita. In his notes on the story, Fainsler remarks on the tale's similarities to several folktales from India and Greece. Beyond that, the legend incorporates Spanish names and details in a Southeast Asian setting, making it truly unique. Esteban traced his finger over the rubies embedded in his signet ring. Up until recently, he'd been content with his life. He was happy to rule over his kingdom and allow his sons to do as they pleased. But 3 days ago, everything changed. He'd been riding by the seaside when a snake startled his horse. Esteban was thrown to the ground and found himself looking up into the oncoming hooves of his 2-ton mare. He managed to roll away just in time, but if he had been a few seconds slower, he would surely have been trampled. Esteban had never come so close to death before. He began to think about his future, the future of his kingdom and the sons that would rule it once he was gone. Technically, Don Juan was the eldest of Esteban's 3 sons, but the boy was a lazy philanderer. He had assumed all his life that the throne would one day be his, but had never bothered to actually earn it. Esteban had always hoped that his sons would grow to become great artists or thinkers able to contribute to the wealth and culture of their kingdom. The 2 younger sons had proven themselves more than capable in this respect. Diego was an accomplished musician, while Pedro was a learned scholar and poet. Esteban wished Don Juan could be more like his brothers. The king demanded an audience with all 3 of his sons. Unsurprisingly, Diego and Pedro were on time. Don Juan was late. The door of the king's chamber swung open. Don Juan hurried in, looking disheveled and altogether undignified. He muttered a few words of apology and sat beside his brothers. Esteban rubbed his temples. Then he said, "The time has come for me to choose a successor." Don Juan smiled expectantly. The king continued, "But I cannot allow any of my sons to rule until all 3 of you are married. I will allow 1 month to choose wives for yourselves. If any of you are not married by then, I will not even consider making you my successor." Pedro and Diego both nodded to their father, thanked him, and bowed deeply before leaving the room. Don Juan did not move. He crossed his arms and stared at Esteban with a hateful glare, saying, "Father, you know very well that I, as the eldest son, have the best claim to your throne." Esteban smiled and told his son that as king, he had the right to do whatever he wished. He said, "And what I wish is for my sons to be married. I don't mind who she is. Marry a monkey for all I care. I will not give over my throne to an unmarried man." Don Juan gave a snort of rage and stormed out of the room, knocking over one of the low mahogany chairs as he left. Esteban chuckled, privately congratulating himself on the scheme. If Don Juan managed to find a wife in time, marriage and children would be just the thing to make him into an upstanding and moral ruler. If he didn't, then he wouldn't be allowed to rule. What could possibly go wrong? Don Juan stomped out of his father's office and toward the end of the colonnade where his brothers were standing. Pedro smiled at him and said, "Brother, we've just been speaking of our father's new directive. I think I will travel to the kingdom of Ma'i, where I know the emperor has 3 lovely daughters of marriageable age." Diego added that he would take one of the royal Balangay boats and travel to the Rajanate of Cebu, where he would ask for the hand of the Raja's youngest daughter. Juan scoffed at his brothers. They might need to travel to distant islands just to find a wife, but he was perfectly capable of finding a woman right here, and he told them so. "Enjoy your trip. But I don't know why you would go to such trouble just to find a wife. Why, I'd wager I could find a woman in the jungle if I wanted to." Pedro nodded agreeably. Diego smiled and said, "I'm sure you could." Don Juan's face flushed with anger. He said, "You don't believe me? Well, I'll show you. I'll do it. I'll bring back a jungle bride, and she'll be 1,000 times more beautiful than any of the dogs in Cebu or Ma'i." The brothers did not seem to understand that he had insulted them. They wished him luck and set out to make arrangements for their journeys. he continued stomping down the hall, thinking that perhaps he had spoken rashly when he said that he wanted to find his wife in the jungle. Truthfully, he did not know the jungle very well and wasn't exactly sure how he would find a wife there, although he supposed if he must marry, the jungle would be as good a place as any to find a bride. Don Juan didn't particularly care who she was, but he liked the idea of finding a spouse who would embarrass and displease his father. Don Juan panted as he made his way through the thicket of jungle foliage. It had been 2 weeks since his last stop at the village of Bongabon, where he had hired an old man named Mahiko to be his guide to the village of San Luis. So far, Mahiko had done little to make the journey easier. They emerged into a clearing and stopped to rest. Don Juan sat on a rock while the old man squatted nearby. After some time, Mahiko gave the young Don an inquisitive look and asked,
"Why do you want to go to San Luis so badly anyway?"
The prince scoffed, explaining that though he didn't owe an explanation to a filthy old man, he was going there to find a bride. Mahiko frowned.
"Well, you won't find one there. The youngest woman in San Luis is older than my mother. Now, I suppose if you were brave, you might go to the palace of Princess Chongita."
Don Juan looked sharply at the man and asked,
"What princess?"
The old man looked surprised.
"You haven't heard of the Princess Chongita? She is beautiful and young. Yet she languishes in loneliness because no one is brave enough to enter her jungle palace."
The younger man drew closer to him and asked why that was. Mahiko sighed.
"They say the entrance is guarded by 3 enormous guardsmen. Unless you know the secret of the place, they will tear you apart as soon as you try to enter."
Don Juan's heart beat faster. Perhaps destiny had drawn him to this jungle. He prodded the old man in the ribs, asking him for the secret. The old man smiled mischievously. He said that the guardsmen would let Don Juan pass if he gave them some good bread. He pulled a canvas sack from under his barong and whispered,
"I happen to have some here. But take care not to eat any yourself. Once they let you through the gates, give out the rest of the bread. The inhabitants will be so pleased that they will bring you the princess to be your wife."
Don Juan nodded and took the bag. He told the old man that they must start out at once, but Mahiko shook his head. He said,
"I'm too afraid. The palace is not far from here, but it is in the deepest part of the jungle."
The younger man scoffed at him. Perhaps this wretched peasant was too afraid for an adventure, but this was exactly the sort of thing he'd been looking for. He told Mahiko he would go alone and started down the path in the direction the old man had indicated. Mahiko stood looking after him, a sly smile creeping over his weathered features. Once he had gotten far away from Mahiko, Don Juan stopped and looked into the canvas sack. He was astonished to find that the bread inside was not the old, stale brick he had expected, but a number of warm, fragrant pan de sal. Don Juan licked his lips. The old man had said not to eat the bread, but it had been a long time since he had a decent meal. He bit into the warm roll, and it melted in his mouth. Don Juan helped himself to another roll and continued on his way. As Don Juan walked deeper and deeper into the jungle, the trees around him seemed to shift. forming strange patterns against the outline of the yellow sky. He rubbed his eyes, trying to remember if the sky had always been that shade. It struck him that he couldn't remember how long he had been walking. As he crested the top of a hill, an old stone palace rose up from the thick blanket of fog laying over the forest floor. Creeping vines wove in and around the ancient stone columns. Patches of moss covered the unreadable faces of time-worn statues. As Don Juan approached the building, he was overwhelmed by a powerful musk. A strange chittering sound rose around him, seemingly coming from every direction. Don Juan felt as though he were standing in an amphitheater, being observed by an audience of thousands. His heartbeat quickened as he clutched the bag of bread that the old man had given him. Eventually, he found himself standing in front of a decayed gateway in the old stone wall. As he took his first tentative step inside the stone archway, Don Juan heard the chittering sound grow louder and more aggressive. He pulled a few golden brown pan de sal from the bag and placed them on the ground. He hastily backed away from the archway and held his breath. Don Juan heard a loud thump as a heavy body landed on the ground in front of him. Then he heard another and another. Three enormous monkeys emerged from out of the mist. They looked like ordinary brown and white macaques, but they were as tall as he was. They gazed at him with their strange green-gold eyes. The largest one bared his teeth in a terrifying snarl. The three monkeys hooted at each other, almost as though they were having a conversation. The monkey closest to Don Juan nodded, and then all three of them stepped back. Don Juan's heart pounded in his chest as he wondered what he had gotten himself into. He'd known that the guards would be terrifying, but he had no idea they would be monkeys. It was too late to turn back now, though. He took a deep breath and entered the mysterious palace. Next, Don Juan finds himself in the kingdom of the monkeys. Now, back to the story. After traveling for days, Don Juan had reached a mysterious palace deep in the jungle. The palace that, if his guide Mahiko was to be believed, was the home of the beautiful princess Changuita. If Don Juan could find this woman and make her his wife, he would embarrass his brothers, prove himself to his father, and claim his rightful place as king. The old guide had said the palace would be guarded by three terrifying guards, but had failed to mention that those guards would be monkeys. Now Don Juan was beginning to wonder what else the old man hadn't told him. As he walked through a yard scattered with broken statues, Don Juan's vision shifted and bloomed with magnificent colors. He wondered what was in the bread the old man had given him. At the entrance to the first building was an enormous flight of old stone steps. A wrinkled old monkey with a sprinkling of gray hairs and a round, fur-covered potbelly sat in the middle. He flicked his tail from side to side. He beckoned, and Don Juan approached, holding out the bag of rolls. The monkey snatched it out of his hand and turned the bag upside down as though he were inspecting it. The rolls fell out and tumbled down the stone steps. Immediately, a troop of monkeys came springing out from the buildings that surrounded him. They descended upon the rolls and gobbled them up before disappearing again as quickly as they had arrived. Then, to Don Juan's astonishment, the old monkey in front of him opened his mouth and began to speak.
"Don Juan, I know you have come here to seek your bride,
I am king of the monkeys, father to the beautiful Chongita. You have come here to offer her your hand in marriage, have you not?"
Unable to contain himself, Don Juan burst out into a fit of hysterical laughter. A talking monkey! Clearly, there was something potent in the bread his guide had given him. But though he should have been angry, Don Juan could do nothing but laugh at the absurd scenario his drugged brain had concocted. In between his bursts of giggling, Juan managed to say,
"I'd be delighted to marry your daughter. Just think of how happy my father will be to hear that his son has married the princess of the monkeys."
Juan bent over in a fit of laughter as the king of the monkeys nodded solemnly.
"Very good. Then I shall summon the Archbishop of Monkeys to perform the ceremony."
At the mention of the Archbishop of Monkeys, Don Juan burst into another fit of hysterics. It was several minutes before he could pull himself together enough to take the hand of the wizened monkey and follow him up the steps. They entered the decrepit temple through the massive stone doorway at the top of the steps. The chamber inside was 3 stories tall. Huge statues of solemn monkeys held up the domed ceiling with their curved tails. Hundreds of monkeys of all shapes and sizes leapt between the balustrades that lined the walls. At the front of the room, there was an altar covered in delicate carvings. Tiny, wide-eyed tarsiers scampered across it, lighting the hundreds of tall, white candles that had been set up there. When an enormous, red-faced monkey in a tall, pointy hat directed Don Juan to be seated before the altar, he almost choked with laughter. This, he gathered, was the Archbishop of Monkeys. A small figure covered in a veil was brought to sit beside Don Juan. The Archbishop anointed her with oils as he chanted a litany peppered with hoots and howls. Each time Juan thought he had calmed himself, he would think about the look on his father's face if he were to actually marry the princess of the monkeys. Then he would fall to pieces all over again. As the ceremony went on, an audience of monkeys gathered to watch. Don Juan was starting to feel dizzy. The room was swimming around him. He felt so loopy and hysterical that when the Archbishop directed him to lift his bride's veil and kiss her, he almost fell over. He steadied himself and took hold of the veil. The monkeys seated behind him cheered in a chorus of hoots and hollers. He lifted the white fabric up over the bride's head. Don Juan found himself staring into the golden eyes of a brown and white macaque. She leaned forward, puckering her monkey lips for a kiss. Don Juan teetered and pitched forward toward his bride. Then everything went dark. When he awoke, his head was pounding furiously. Unable to remember where he had fallen asleep, he opened his eyes a crack and found that he was in a high-ceilinged room, covered in detailed and exquisite murals. Hands were stroking his hair and rubbing his back. A woman's voice asked,
"How do you feel?"
Don Juan spoke in a raspy voice.
"Not so good. I had the most peculiar dream."
He opened his eyes and looked up into the whiskered face of a giggling brown and white macaque. He sat up and saw that the monkeys surrounded him. The hands and voice had not belonged to a human woman, but to a furry primate. Suddenly, the evening came rushing back with terrible clarity. Don Juan's jaw dropped open. He had married a monkey. His new wife seemed to think he was examining the room's murals. She asked,
"Do you like my artwork? I've been painting since I was a little girl. I find it very calming."
Don Juan racked his mind for some way to make all of this go away. The first thing to do was escape this place. He tried to stand up, but a monkey stopped him, placing its hairy little hand on his shoulder. It was the king of the monkeys, the father of his new bride. The monkey gave him a concerned look and said,
"Don't strain yourself now. Would you like some water?"
Don Juan stammered that he was feeling fine, but was in a hurry to get home to his father. The monkey king grinned, revealing a row of sharp little teeth.
"Ah, an excellent plan. I'm sure Chungita will be eager to meet her new father-in-law as well. Come, I shall arrange for our guards to escort you back to your father's palace."
Don Juan tried to assure the king of the monkeys that an escort would be quite unnecessary, but the king would not hear of it. He clapped his tiny hands, and the enormous monkeys who had guarded the gates of the palace appeared at his side with a small mahogany palanquin. Though Don Juan protested, the monkeys ignored him. Before long, he found himself crouching under the low ceiling of the palanquin, seated across from his monkey bride, and watching as she ate the nits she picked off of her tail. Once they had arrived at the edge of the jungle, the guards set down their passengers. They told Don Juan and his bride that they could go no further. Don Juan thanked them for their service and watched as they retreated into the jungle. Perhaps now that the massive monkey guards were gone, he could escape from his wife and make it home without anyone knowing what he had done. He was about to suggest something that might distract Chungita when he heard the rumble of a horse and carriage. Don Juan looked down the road and spotted a large, ornate carriage. His brothers were seated inside, and sitting across from them were two lovely young women. The carriage pulled up next to Don Juan, and his brothers greeted him with hugs, kisses, and cries of joy. Pedro introduced his wife, the Princess of Cebu. She gave a slight bow, and then Diego stepped forward to introduce his own wife, the Rani of Mai. Pedro cocked an eyebrow at his brother.
"And what of your jungle wife? Have you found her yet?"
Don Juan looked down at the earth that had been churned up by the carriage's wheels. He didn't know what to say. Chungita stepped forward, took Pedro's hand, and announced in her tremulous monkey voice,
"I am his bride."
The two brothers and their wives stared at Don Juan and Chungita in astonishment. Don Pedro gave a polite cough and said,
"Oh, how lovely to meet you."
He shook hands with the little monkey, and Diego politely followed suit. Then, all together, the three brothers and their wives climbed back into the carriage and made way toward the palace. As the carriage pulled up in front of the palace, Juan spotted his father standing on the front steps. Still trying to think of some way out of this, he placed a hand on Chungita's shoulder and said,
"Let my brothers introduce their wives first."
Diego and Pedro both stepped out and introduced their lovely, well-bred brides to their father. The old man shook their hands delightedly and welcomed them to the family. Then the two couples stood aside and allowed Don Juan and Chungita to emerge. The king looked to Don Juan and asked,
"And what about you, my eldest son? Where is your bride?"
Don Juan was cornered. He pointed to Chungita, shrugged his shoulders, and remarked,
"You said you didn't care who it was."
The king stared in disbelief at his sons. Pedro looked at the ground and Diego gave a small cough. The king looked back to Don Juan, then to Chungita, and back to Don Juan again. He gave a small, fluttering sigh and fainted.
Pedro and Diego rushed to their father's side while Don Juan rolled his eyes. He watched as Chonguita picked another knit off her tail and popped it into her mouth. Next, Chonguita defends herself against her new father-in-law. Now back to the story. King Esteban paced back and forth in his chambers. He had expected that his eldest son might do something to earn his ire, but never in a thousand years could he have imagined Don Juan would do something as drastic and ridiculous as marrying a monkey. He knew why his son had done it. Don Juan had wanted to humiliate his father. He had made his point, and now it was time to do away with the monkey and find his son a suitable wife. Esteban picked up a little gold bell that sat next to his bed. In moments, a servant arrived at his door. Esteban gave him instructions to fetch his son's new wives. He had a task for all three of them. Chonguita could not stop a smile from creeping over her face as her new father-in-law explained the task. He asked each of his son's wives to make him an embroidered coat. Esteban gave them all a portion of silk. In 3 days' time, they were to craft a jacket fit for a king. After all, if a woman was going to be queen, she ought to know how to sew. If any of them failed to make a jacket out of the silk, then she was not fit to be a wife at all, and would be beheaded. As he mentioned this last part, Chonguita's two sisters-in-law looked over at her sadly. Chonguita scratched her armpit and pretended not to understand the old king. Of course, an ordinary monkey would not be able to sew an embroidered coat, but Chonguita was no ordinary monkey. Once the king had gone, she set to work at once. Her long monkey fingers made the work go much faster than if she had had clumsy human hands. She finished the coat in record time. At the end of 3 days, the wives gathered to show Esteban what they had done. When the other two wives presented their coats to the king, he marveled over their craftsmanship, taking care to compliment the little details that the women had sewn onto the cuffs and collar. Then King Esteban approached Chonguita and asked to see her coat. She pretended not to understand him once again. She picked up the coat that sat in front of her and tried to pull the sleeve over her head. Angrily, the king snatched it away from her, but as he did so, he could not help marveling at the magnificent craftsmanship. Where her sisters-in-law had only embroidered the cuffs and collar, Chonguita had done an intricate design of vines and flowers all along the edges of the coat. In the center, she had put a golden monkey with green eyes. For a moment, Esteban was dazzled by Chonguita's lovely handiwork, but then a frown crept over his face. He said to the wives, "A coat is all well and good, but I think I should also like for my new daughters-in-law to sew me a cap. Yes, I'll send you each up to your chambers, and you'll have only a few hours to make me a cap. That way we can ensure that none of you get any outside help. Any wife who cannot make the cap will be beheaded." He looked right at Chonguita as he said this. She grinned toothily at him and stuffed part of the silk he had given her into her mouth. Once Chonguita had been locked into her rooms, she set about fashioning the silk into a cap for her father-in-law. She sewed the cap itself in no time at all, and then spent the remaining hours detailing it with intricately embroidered designs. Finally, Esteban called her and the other wives together to present their work. Diego's wife had embroidered her cap with a few crude flowers. Pedro's wife had managed only one pathetic little daisy. When Esteban asked to see Chonguita's work, she took out the hat and started trying to pull it over her foot. Esteban gave an exasperated sigh and snatched it away from her. His eyes widened as he examined the delicate silk cap with its border of embroidered fish and ocean waves. He looked back and forth between the monkey and the cap several times. Chongita could see that he was trying to wrap his head around how a monkey could have sewn such a lovely cap. Eventually, the king put the cap down and, with a puzzled expression, declared that he was retiring to his chambers to think. Chongita smiled to herself. That evening, Chongita told her husband about what had happened with the king. Don Juan frowned. He said, "My father may need some time to think, but he'll try to get rid of you again soon enough." Chongita picked a piece of lint off her husband's head and offered it to him to eat as she said,
"Well, I suppose he'll just have to try harder then."
The next day, King Esteban gathered his sons' wives together one final time. He paced in front of them with his hands behind his back, saying, "In the past few days, I have tested all three of you, and now I have one final test. I'd like each of you to paint the walls of my bedchamber with a picture of your homeland. Whoever does the best job, her husband shall ascend to the throne. Of course, as it is my bedchamber, I will oversee the painting of the murals myself. If any of you are unable to complete the task, you shall be beheaded." He gave Chongita a knowing smirk, and it was all she could do to keep from laughing out loud. This king was so foolish with his brazen attempts to rid himself of her, and now he had unwittingly chosen a test of her strongest skill. Back in the jungle palace, Chongita had loved to paint. Every day she spent hours sketching the other monkeys. Now all her hard work would pay off. Diego's wife went first. She painted a mural of the seaside town she grew up in. There were jumping dolphins and swimming fish, and when she had finished, everyone praised her for the vivid colors and stunning details. Chongita yawned and scratched her buttocks. This would be easy. Next, Pedro's wife painted a picture of the mountain castle where she had lived as a girl. She took her time and carefully detailed the leaves on each tree. When she had finished, Esteban told her he'd never seen such a magnificent painting. Chongita gave a loud sigh and scratched her head. Once it was finally Chongita's turn to paint, she sauntered up to the blank wall with a paintbrush in her hand. She looked straight at the king and began to paint. A picture quickly began to take form. It was the abandoned jungle palace of the Monkey King. Though she worked quickly, Chongita's painting was incredibly precise, each detail down to the smallest leaf or strand of fur was placed with the careful eye of an expert painter. The king's jaw dropped as he watched Chongita paint. The work before them was a masterpiece. The monkeys looked so real, they could have walked right out of the wall. Looking at the painting, the king could almost feel the drops of water falling off the dense green foliage. As he gazed at the painting, Esteban could not help glancing toward the little creature who had made it. Before, he'd seen her as an embarrassment to his kingdom. Now he realized that the monkey who stood before him was a kind and gentle creature. If she could paint something like this, she would be an even more worthwhile ruler than his own son. King Esteban approached the little monkey and seized her hand. He said, "It is clear to me now that of my son's wives, you are the most worthy of them all. Don Juan is lucky to have you. With you by his side, I am confident that the kingdom will be in good hands." He looked deep into Chongita's eyes and asked,
"Can you ever forgive me, my dear, for doubting you?"
Chongita nodded, and the king laid a hand upon her shoulder, telling her that he must go. Don Juan would be king, and there was plenty that needed to be done for the coronation ceremony. The coronation ceremony took place that evening. Chongita was given a place of honor at the king's side as he passed his scepter and crown to his eldest son. That evening, a party was held in honor of Don Juan. There was music and dancing, but Don Juan did not enjoy any of it. He sat in the corner with his head in his hands. Though his wife was clever and cunning, and though she had procured the kingship for him, she was still a monkey. Even worse than that, his father had agreed to let her monkey family attend the event. They were crawling all over the chairs and tables as though the fine ballroom was a jungle watering hole. He watched Chongita lope around the hall and could not help but feel a surge of terrible rage at the way the old man had tricked him. As the night went on, he grew angrier and angrier. At last, it was time for the final dance of the night. Chongita approached her husband with a sweet smile and her arm outstretched, beckoning for him to join her. Don Juan lost control. For a moment, he saw red as he screamed at his wife.
"I am the king! I will not dance with a monkey!"
He picked her up and hurled her against a wall. Chongita hit the stone with a sickening thud. All at once, the light seemed to be sucked out of the room. A cold wind swept through the space, and the chittering of 1,000 monkeys could be heard, rising to a furious pitch. Then the sound stopped, the lights returned, and everything was as it had been, except for one thing. A beautiful woman lay crumpled on the floor where Chongita had fallen. She sat up and rubbed her head. Then she looked with fiery eyes at the man who had tossed her against the wall.
"Finally, I am free. For 500 years, my people have been cursed to take the form of monkeys. Now we've been emancipated through your act of brutality."
Chongita turned to the king of the monkeys who stood nearby. As she reached out a hand to him, he transformed from a monkey into a dignified old man. They embraced and moved together through the hall. As she passed by, all the guests who had once been monkeys became human beings. Finally, she stood in the entryway, looking back on the room with a smile. She gave Don Juan one last pitying look, and then swept out of the room and out of his life forever. The story of Chongita is remarkably similar to a number of animal spouse stories that appear in Asia and Europe. These stories are often meant to address some deep cultural anxiety around issues of marriage and courtship. In the case of Chongita, it's also possible to interpret these anxieties through the lens of race and colonialism. Chongita was recounted during the American occupation of the Philippines at the tail end of 3 centuries of Spanish colonial rule. During this time, intermarriage between Spanish and American colonists and native Filipinos was not uncommon, and it always came with racist criticisms. The monkey bride follows a long-standing tradition of colonials using monkeys to mock and dehumanize a racial group, in this case, native Filipinos. Meanwhile, the use of Spanish names for the nobility in the tale is a notable reference to Spanish colonialism. Don Juan's shame and embarrassment over marrying Chongita reflects anxieties around the intermarriage between these groups. Of course, Chongita is a predominantly indigenous Filipino tale, and ultimately its goal is to condemn these racist tropes. Unlike many other animal bride stories, the original tale of Chongita ends with no hope of the couple living happily ever after, which can be read as a denouncement of European racism. In the end, because Don Juan was unable to see the humanity of his own wife, he is denied her love forever. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back on Wednesday with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Anthony Valsic, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, Isabella Way, and Juan Borda. This episode of Tales was written by Zoe Luisa Lewis, with writing assistance by Greg Castro, and stars Vanessa Richardson.